I'll tell you why I can't find you. Every time I go out to your place, you gone fishing.
How you know?
Well, there's a sign upon your door.
Uh-huh.
Gone fishing.
I'm real gone, man.
You ain't working anymore.
Could be.
There's your hoe out in the sun, where you left a row half done. You claim that hoeing ain't no fun.
But I can prove it.
You ain't got no ambition. Gone fishing.
Just love starting with that.
That is really good.
And this is Fish and Frank here. And that's Pastor Donnie. He's over there. He's the God part. I'm the fishing part. And this is God and Fishing.
Amen. Let's get a word of prayer in first and then we'll get started. I think we're going to talk about some black drum today there, Frank. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for such a glorious day that you've provided. And Father, for all the opportunity to be out in your country, out in your land, and doing the things that we love, Father, and for always keeping us safe, and Father, making all the provisions for us. Father, we ask you to be with our fellowship here today, that it be used to glorify you and honor you in all that we say, do, and think. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay.
Now, we have a special guest today, Frank.
Okay. You mean the... Oh, that's Jeannie.
Yeah, that's Jeannie.
Fishy Radio Jeannie.
We have a celebrity in the house.
Yeah, Jeannie's like Fishy Radio Girl, you know? And we got Barry Starpin World here.
Yep, I'm here, yep.
We've got all kinds of celebrities.
We've got L over here.
Yeah. No, no, next letter is a J.
I missed it by one.
That's because I'm not a celebrity.
I think you said, is that an L for a loser, Frank?
No.
I was going there.
Boy, you're mean for such a big fella, you know?
What are you going to do about it, Frank?
Nothing. I'm just going to sit here and be real quiet in the corner like the little guy I am. You know?
I'll apologize. Sorry about that, Jay.
It's all right.
Trying to start something.
Okay.
It's all fair game. It's good.
Everything's fair in fishing and whatever. No, it's not. Okay.
Yeah.
Jeannie.
Hi.
Black Drum have hurt you.
They've
been mean to you.
We saw her nursing her wrist in the store before we came out here, and that's why you're like, we gotta put her on, right?
I didn't know what to say about that, actually.
Do you feel bad for me?
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
I used
Isaiah 53 to get you some healing going. That's what it was.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I was just looking for sympathy.
Yeah. She's going to come in like a wheelchair next week. Oh, Pastor Donnie.
Can I be on your show again?
Absolutely. Right now, we're already having more fun, so it works. So tell us about this drum that was really traumatic for you.
It was a lot of fun. Yeah. So I've been seeing the black drum. I've always wanted to catch a black drum. Black drum was one thing that I had never caught. Snook, redfish, tarpon. So I got everything together, got some people's secrets. They told me where to go and what to do, and I went out and went out last weekend, specifically targeting the black drum. And I did. I got one. It was a little bit bigger than what I expected it to be. So when I was out there, I'd actually lost two of them. I had hooked up with two.
What were you using for bait?
I was using crab.
Okay.
Crab.
Blue crabs?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Now, were they whole crabs you put a hook in, or did you cut them in half?
So what I did is I used the whole crab, and I hooked him on one of the points on the side, and then I cut the other point off with my pliers, and then I smashed his shell. Bless his little heart. I'm sorry.
Oh, for all the animal lovers out there, that he felt no pain.
I did it quick. I did it real quick. Poor little guy. He didn't even flinch, if that helps.
The viewers are probably like, I hope her wrist hurts even more now.
I'm sorry, PETA.
Is PETA still for fish, or is that PETA?
No, that's people eating tasty animals.
Okay.
Jeannie likes the people eating tasty animals.
Oh, God, creatures have a place right next to the mashed potatoes
and corn.
It seems like they've rehearsed that a little bit, Jay. I think we've been left out of it.
Can you tell we've been friends a long time?
A little bit. But what shocked me is she said she asked some friends and they gave her some target areas to go.
Yeah.
Normally, fishermen don't give up these numbers.
Have you seen her? I'm like, Donnie, she's across from you. Focus. Have you seen her?
Were those phone numbers?
She thought it was coordinates. It was just phone numbers, wasn't it?
I, even God would let, and he did nice work there. If somebody's going to get.
Lord, I apologize.
Yeah, you might want to say one for me. I'm probably going to.
I am saying one, Frank. No, Frank, you're not. You're going to be. Yeah, I'm going to get you to go upstairs with me. I don't want you to go down. Yeah. There's going to be some awesome fishing in heaven, I would think. You know, it has to be good. Jenny, don't listen to him. You are a remarkable lady. But yeah,
that's what I was saying. Now wait a minute. I wouldn't like Barry over here.
No, right? Barry's got.
He's the mean one.
Oh, what? He was the one calling Jay loser indirectly. I had to point it out.
All right, so let's. No. We lost it. Let's
Q. His name was Q. I remember.
But what you were saying about people getting their numbers? No, that's. I wouldn't say it's rare, but at the same time, I'm sure you've known these. This person for a while, right, Jamie?
Yes, yeah. Okay. So we have, the fishing community is a really great community.
It is.
It really is. So you get the, you know, hey, I caught this over here today, or hey, I heard there was something. What do you know?
Yep.
You know, so it's kind of that give and take, that back and forth. Yeah, so if I tell you where the redfish are, you'll tell me where the black drum are. You know what
right,
I mean?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And it was kind of that thing, you know.
But
yeah,
do you really
know.
Truly give out your ace in the hole?
I'm not going to tell you I give out my ace in the hole, right.
But just a general idea of someone.
I mean, I will. I think we all have our one spot that we know that we can go to every time.
That's
but
right.
The thing about being artificial is I'm constantly on the move. I don't have a hole per se.
Right, you're.
I can tell you where
them.
The fish are.
Yeah.
So you know, I have my one place that I go 90% of the time, but. I go through that, and then I have to spend the rest of the day going other places. So
right.
If I find those fish other places, I'll tell you about that.
You
know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's
right.
That's the nice thing about fishing artificial, which is you get to cover a lot more water
right.
instead of just that one spot.
So I cover a lot of ground
right.
when I go out.
Now, at first you were telling us that you were using smash and cast on the crabs. All right?
Yes.
Yep. So gently smash the crabs, guys. But now... When you're going after, you're saying you're using some jig bait. So what would you like to use on this for the black jumpers?
Well, were you putting, I didn't mean to interrupt your flow, Pastor Donnie, but were you using like a jig head with these crabs or did you freeline
Mm-mm.
it? How did you?
I freelined it.
Freelined.
I just put it on a 5-out hook. So I went and got some 50-pound leader, which
okay.
I never use because,
right.
again, I'm very light tackle.
Yeah.
Got some 50-pound leader. I just used mono. Didn't
right.
even have to spend the money on fluoro.
Mm-hmm.
Got me a 5-out hook. Got me a couple little crabs. I didn't go for the big crabs, you know, the
right.
big. I just got me the little crabs.
Like a tarpon-sized crab or like a...
About
no.
3 or 4 inches across?
Yeah,
okay.
yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It was, you know, one
right
of the smaller
middle.
Ones. There were some big
palm
ones
size.
In there. And
yeah.
Palm
yeah.
size.
Exactly.
About the size of your palm or a little smaller.
Yeah.
The size
yeah.
of Frank. Donnie and I's
Frank.
Palm?
No.
Which palm?
Adult-sized palms?
Normal.
Like mine,
normal.
Normal. All right.
Human size.
So, Barry, when we go crabbing, we have to go take somebody normal.
Yeah. All right. Palm size crab, yeah. Nice.
So about 3 inches, guys.
Yeah.
I am fisherman.
So I put them on my 5-aught hook, and I was just pretty much fishing the docks. But the water was so high that day. I was in on a high tide. It was so high. You couldn't get under the docks, so I was trying to fish under the boats and as far under the docks as I could. And I did hook up with 2, and then I ended up losing them because, again, you know, it was practice, I guess.
Yeah, right.
The first 2 were practice. And then, so I was actually re-rigging my pole, and I happened to look over, and I saw commotion on the top of the water.
Uh-huh.
And, well, you know what happens next. I mean, you get, like, I was getting all super excited. What is that? So I'm looking at it, and I see he's basically turned sideways, and he's got his fin that he's pushing the water with. And anyhow, what he was doing was he was eating all the crustaceans off of the seawall.
Right.
Okay.
So I threw my crab over there about 5 foot from him, so I didn't spook him, and I just let it sit, and I'm telling you, about 30 minutes later, there he was. And so I had learned by this point, because I lost the first 2, I knew I was doing something wrong, so what I did was I opened my bail, and I just fed him,
mm-hmm.
and I waited for him to go, and once he took it and ran with it, I closed my bail, reeled. I had circle hooks on, reeled him in, and that was enough, I think, to puncture, you know, get the hook through his lip, which I think is what I was doing wrong with the first two, because they have an extremely, I think that's what happened.
Yeah, very rubbery mouth and or lips to get around.
And I think that's exactly what I was doing wrong. So this time I opened the bale, let him take off with it, closed my bale, reeled, and you know, he hit the end of it when I hit that bale. And so I think he set himself, you know.
Which is the perfect way for a circle hook to set.
And then after that, it was just a bunch of stomping and screaming and hooting and hollering. And that when that thing come up to the surface, I was so excited. And you know, after it was so bad, I really tried to be quiet because I'm in, you know, a residential canal area here. And so
after people come out and cheer you on?
No. I'm really trying to, like, you know, I'm just, you know. And so after I let him go, I stood on my boat and I'm looking around in all directions to make sure there's nobody out there that was, you know, watching me. Yeah. And it was funny because the next day I went back, I had a girlfriend with me, and I'm like, I'm going to put you on black drum. And I went back and I was sitting there thinking, I'm sure these people are going, oh no, here Not comes again. This boat again.
That's the screamer right there. Yeah. Maybe that's why we're not catching black drum that much, Barry. We're not screaming enough.
We're not, we're not excited, yeah.
Yeah, we got to get a little
more enthusiasm.
Excited. Yeah, more enthusiasm. Jay?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We're working on your enthusiasm.
We'll get there.
Wow, yeah.
All right.
Where do you go after that? That's just got to be, you know, all right, we're here. We came. We saw. We asked a question.
Well,
he answered.
Yes, he did.
I'll just say, so now that we know your trials and tribulations, the biggest tribulation is, how did you hurt your wrist?
Yeah.
You didn't throw that in there.
Yeah, you didn't.
So I
was that celebration mode?
Yeah. Well, it was just pulling this thing in. Yeah. So, again, I fish extremely light tackles. So I caught this guy on a, I think it was a 10 to 18 pound Dan James fishing pole with a small 3,000 CI4 reel. Okay. So, you know, my pole was great, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't big enough for a 30-pound fish. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Right.
It was a lot of fight. Right. I could have had a little bit more backbone and probably wouldn't have hurt my... But, yeah, it was...
So, like, the long duration of the fight, just all that tension you're putting on your wrist.
It was holding it, trying to hold that pole up, you know, and at times I was having to use my left hand and two-hand it, you know, because my wrist just wasn't...
Fish, so.
That was a big fish on extremely light tackle.
If you could have had Donnie or Barry there...
Well, first of all, Frank, you didn't pay attention to part of the story. She's fishing back in some of these little flats in an 18-foot skiff, right?
Yes, yeah.
If Donnie or Barry's on the boat, she's not getting back there because we just went below the 10-inch.
Yeah, we're even with the water. We're going to look like we're walking on the water, actually. That would be pretty cool. Put the 30-pound drum in the boat, and then it starts slowly going down.
I'm going to bet her boat only has like 150 horse. I don't think it's taking Godzilla across the water. All right.
We started this conversation.
So anyway, like, you were fighting the fish. How long did it take you to get it to the boat?
Oh, goodness. It felt like it took about 3 hours. Probably took a good 15 minutes for me to get it in. Oh, yeah. It was a heck of a fight. That really was a big fish. Okay. You know, on that small rod and reel, it was a heck of a fight for me.
So,
and it might be because of a lot of the screaming,
How did you get it? Well, they paralyzed the fish.
Like stun gun thing.
Right.
You stunned the fish?
Listen, I'm not going to lie. There were times that I just stopped reeling altogether and just admired the fact that, oh my gosh, look at this fish. Yeah. You know, I'd set out to catch that fish, but not that big of a fish.
Right,
there is a point that you're like, wow, look at that. You know, and you forget what you're actually doing.
So how'd you get it on the boat?
I'm sorry?
How did you get it on the boat?
Good question.
Yeah, I had I actually had a buddy with me, which I'd never, ever, ever been able to land that fish without him being on the boat with me, because that fish was all over the place. So he's running from here to there, picking up the trolling motor so he doesn't get in the trolling motor.
Right.
You know, I'd have never. And there's no way after reeling that fish into the boat that I'd have actually been able to pick him up out of the water and get him on the boat. I'd have never been able to do it without him.
Oh, so you cheated. You had help.
I did.
Okay.
I did. Yeah.
Here I'm thinking, okay, I got my gab and I'm pulling them up, you know, one hand over the other, lots of muscles involved.
I'd never been able to do it. Never.
Now, typically when you're bringing these guys in, when they see the boat, when they see the problem, they like
runs
to run again.
Yep.
So you not only had to fight it once, you probably had to fight it in a couple of times, right?
He was very, very lively. Oh. Very lively. And he was, I mean, he stayed green for a while. A good fight.
That is now, a fisherman's dream right there. Good stuff.
When you're typically looking for black drum, you're pretty much always looking in canals around pilings and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But now, Barry, you said you saw about 500 black drum. And that more or less means they're usually the school that's going through the middle of the harbor. Did you get a chance to throw on them?
Number one, we did throw on them, and that school was not in the harbor this weekend.
Where was it?
It was in the canals.
Really?
They were in the canals, and we were fishing for something. We were fishing for like snook and jacks and redfish up against this one seawall with whitebait. And then we looked into the middle of this canal, and there's a lot of surface disturbance, and you could see fins tipping up. And I just knew immediately that's the black drum. They don't really, even though there's so much fish, they don't really give away that they're all there until a boat comes close and they all push. Yeah. When they all push, it's like a huge wake, and you're like, all right, that's them.
Okay.
And saying 500 was very like conservative because it was like 20 feet in this canal deep, and they were from all the way from the bottom to the surface of the water.
Wow.
And but it's the same thing. The very interesting thing with this school is we did use crab as bait, but they did not want it on the bottom. Usually that's what we do when you find these schools. You put a piece of crab on a jig head, throw it in the school, let it go all the way to the bottom. One of the ones on the bottom will pick it up. We did not get bit for like the first 10 minutes with two jig heads on the bottom. And I've never tried this before, but because we could see them on the surface, we were like, this is so weird, because they never turned down crab. We threw them on floats.
Okay.
And once we would throw it on a floater in the school, like only 2 feet under the surface, every time it would go under, and then that's how we hooked up. So we pulled out about like 8, because we had double hookups every time. There was no, they were feeding heavily. For some reason, they wanted on a float that day. Mm. And
well, it's one of the things I always try and tell people. If you're out there and you're fishing and you literally see the fish, take the sinker off, because the sinker's going to the bottom. And so, yes, there may be fish down there. We think they go all the way down there. But if you can see them right there and you're throwing and letting it go all the way to the bottom, you might want to put a bobber rod.
Yeah.
Keep it where the fish are.
Right.
You know, if I think they're down there, but I know they're right there.
Yeah, that was the difference in catching him or not, is having the bobber on him that day.
So about two foot down, and that was about the difference.
That was it. That was the key to being frustrated all day, being like, why can't I catch a fish in 500 of a school of 500 plus, or catching them or not catching? That was the difference. So
outstanding.
Because in the past, I understand what you're saying, Frank. But in the past, when those schools come by, I love throwing artificial, but I like to fish only the ones on the bottom are the ones I can get to eat with an artificial. So that's why
technically you're not actually on the bottom either. You're jumping up and down off of the bottom with it.
I'm dragging it.
I know exactly. Dragging it?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a little.
Only
there.
You, Barry, could I know do I'm it on completely.
The bottom. I feel it. I know I'm on the bottom, and I'm dragging it. Then you just feel it.
No. Hey. Now, what is the bait you like to use for your jig?
Well, with these black drum, if you look at their anatomy, like they have little whiskers on their chin,
right.
So they love smell. So when they for an artificial, I like to throw something with scent. So like Gulp makes like a, this is the perfect one, like the Gulp shrimp, like the 3-inch.
Right.
Throw it on like a 1/4 ounce jig head or something and cast that into the school and let it go. Like open your bail, because it's going to hit fish on the way down and stop, hit and stop. And that's how I like to catch them, with something with scent. So you could use Gulp.
Those whiskers actually act as their tongue. They taste with those, and they smell with those.
Exactly.
It's an enhancement to both taste and smell. So they drag that along, and anything that brushes up against that, they're going to try and go back on and eat.
Right.
So it's, 100% with the black drum on fish bites or Gulp.
Or
those
Gulp
would be the two
fish bites
artificials that I would want to use.
Fish bites or Gulp.
Yeah,
something
about a 3-inch shrimp.
Okay. Yeah, they're, whether it's the fish bite shrimp or the Gulp crab or the fish bite, whatever, it's about a little bit of movement and some smell.
That's all it. Right, Miss Lady J, what was you using?
For my black drum?
Yeah.
Crab.
No, for your jig bait, when you go out there and jig.
So I use flukes primarily.
Flukes.
Flukes.
But not for black drum, really.
She doesn't
not
even
for black
use,
drum. That was
don't
the first
you usually
one.
Do a weedless worm hook instead of a jig head?
I do.
She doesn't even use a jig head on hers. She likes that bass style fluke or split tail jerk shad.
Okay.
She's fancy. She hides her hook.
Yeah. I do. I usually use an offset bass hook.
Yeah. Okay. Very good.
Yeah.
And you like to stay kind of toward the top.
I do.
All right.
Yeah, primarily for the most part. I'm
she's fishing that middle water. She's not bouncing a jig on the bottom.
Mm-mm.
Where Barry has been fishing all his life, but really got into it in the last few years.
Right.
And everybody in the last few years, it's jig head, jig head, jig head, jig head. And it's a very popular thing. Now, it will evolve out of that in a little while because fishing is very cycle and it kind of comes in and out of okay. stuff. But yeah, that's you'll see the differences in when they really grab the passion for fishing. Because he was in college for a while, just got back, and then he kind of got into the fishing.
Hmm. Well, I mean, don't give me some credit. On my college breaks, I'd be here all the time and fishing.
I know.
Like, you're just like,
but
oh,
who
you
are
know.
You hanging out with? Carl and all these guys, and what do they all fish with?
Success. I'm just why didn't make it about the jig head, Frank? We catch fish.
Yeah, all right.
Now, when we go, we like to use fresh shrimp. That's what we like to use. We'll take our fresh shrimp, put it on our hook, throw it out there, and just let the shrimp do the work.
Now, I will use a jig head with shrimp, and as a matter of fact,
say the
I
jig
like
head
this.
Word. Your kids only thrown at you.
I'm so disappointed, Jeannie. You've let me down.
Frank has
no.
a complex
jig heads. Right oh, God.
So, if I do fish shrimp, what are the clackers? What are they
Rockport
called?
Rockport rattlers.
Rockport rattlers. Yep. Those are my absolute favorite. Pair that with a shrimp. Redfish cannot. Yep. Love it.
They
love,
do.
Love, love.
And there's the same species of fish. Black drum, redfish.
Yes.
Same species. Totally different animals, so.
Yeah.
One really likes the shrimp, and the other, it'll hit just about anything that you throw out there that smells nasty.
Yeah, they're actually close enough where they can spawn redfish. Redfish is actually a red drum, and then you have the black drum.
Mm-hmm.
They're almost the exact same thing, just slightly different.
Yep. We actually, one of the ones we caught was a crossbreed. You couldn't tell if it was the black or the red. It was a crossbreed between the two. It was a beautiful looking fish. So.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay.
Just information there to be thrown out.
Okay. All right. Have you been fishing this week, Donnie?
We have. We actually tried out the new Reaper rod. We were very very happy with it. It had a great backbone to it. We went out, I think it was on the 240 line out of Stump Pass. Got out there right about 90 foot of water. Went after some good grouper. After we went after the Barracuda. But we went after the grouper to try the rod out, and it was a fantastic rod. I really enjoyed it.
Maybe what we'll do is just, we've only got about a minute left here on this one, but maybe we come back, we'll talk about some grouper trip, how your grouper trip went.
Definitely.
Love to do that here on the next God and Fishing. In the last little bit, Bear, have you been fishing this last week?
Yeah.
What'd you do, real quick?
Black drum, tarpon, big tarpon, and then this morning went out with Carl, if that's okay with you, and caught redfish, snook, and more tarpon.
And you used jig heads, right?
Yeah. Actually, no, we didn't.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So you might like this conversation.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I know you did. Okay. Jeannie, did you fish this week?
Yesterday. I went out yesterday. Got some nice, a couple nice snook.
Wow.
Nice big size snook. Didn't find any redfish, but that dodging raindrops, so I wasn't out very long.
Yeah.
Got out about 5:30. Fished till about 9.
Yep.
That was about it.
Now, was that the picture I saw inside there? The big
no,
snook?
No. Okay. This guy, he was a nice snook, but he wasn't picture worthy.
Okay.
So.
All right. Pastor Donnie, why don't you tell us where you have your meetings and give us where you are and who you are? And
I am Pastor D or Pastor Donnie. I'm up in Englewood. Our address is 406 North Indiana Avenue in Englewood. That's just north of Dearborn there. As you're going out, it's on the left. Our services are about 10 o'clock, and we have an open service. Come as you are. Just come there and enjoy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again for this day and our fellowship time. We had such a great time fellowshipping, Lord, and, Father, the opportunity to kind of share some wisdom with one another. Father, as we leave here, Father, we ask you to just keep us safe out on the water and return us always safely back to our family. Thank you, Lord, for all your provisions. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
That was nice, Donnie. You know, you do those nice prayers. I mean, you just it always just makes you feel good. Wow. So, anyway.
I'll tell you why I can't find you.
Why no one can find us.
That's right. Gone fishing.
Ah, you know.
Well, this is Fish and Frank here. Uh-huh. I'm the fishing part. That's Pastor Donnie over there. He's the God part. And today the guest was Jeannie from Fishy Radio, Barry from Barry's Tarpon World, and Jay, soon to be heard. Soon to be heard, Jay.
I can prove it.
You ain't got no ambition. Gone fishing.